Well, thank you, Bo. It is great to be here. My name is Johnny, and I do work with the North American Mission Board, and I just have the pleasure of working with church planters, people that are crazy enough to go start churches like Bo and Rachel were a part of when they started this church, and all over Calgary. And South Winds Church is a huge part of that. And so I want to thank you from the North American Mission Board, from the SEND Network, for your impact in the city of Calgary and beyond. This week, Bo was doing some of our training, and so you give Bo, and he works in our network to help us train more church planters and to train trainers of church planters. So I just want to thank you for that. You are so blessed to have a great pastoral team of Bo and Rachel and Kinsey. Like, can we give it up for your pastor? Like, they are just awesome. And they probably don't get thanked enough. And so I would encourage you, just continue to honor them, because they have become dear friends, and I am so honored to work with them. I am married to my wife, Tammy. We have three sons. We moved to Calgary 7 years ago to work with another organization in church planting. And so that's what I've been doing for the number of years. I've been a pastor, a youth pastor, a church planter, and now working with the North American Mission Board to help plant churches. This morning, I want to talk to you about exchange, and exchanges that we make all of the time. When I was a youth pastor, we used to do this game. It was a way to teach our youth about the value of things, and that things aren't really that important. And so it was called Bigger and Better, and we would send the kids out with a paperclip, and whoever would come back with the biggest prize at the end would win the night, and we would give them a prize. And it was crazy of what would happen. Like, we had people coming back, they had TVs that were still working, they had couches, and so the janitor of the church was upset because our youth room just got filled with all this junk after that night. We had actually, you know, use some of it, but some of it throw out. But we exchanged Bigger and Better. For you, Christmas is coming up, and you know when you go in and buy something at the store, they say, do you want a receipt card so you can give it to somebody if they want to go and exchange it. I remember when we got married, we had all of these gifts, like 4 toaster ovens and 4 crock pots, and we had to go and take those and exchange those for something else. When you get married, I got married 29 years ago, and I exchanged my singleness for complete fidelity to my wife for the rest of my life, and we exchanged rings to say, I'm going to be faithful to you and to you only for the rest of my life. If you're married, you've probably done the exact same thing. We've exchanged things that are of value to each other. Any hockey fans in the room? Flames fans? We got a few. Okay, I know you're scared to say it right now. But we had that trade in the summer, right? James Neal, who was a bum, couldn't 7 goals in 64 games. Like, seriously, we're paying him so much money. And then we trade him to Edmonton, and he has 13 goals in 24 games. And Milan Lucic has 0 goals and 4 assists in the same amount of games. So we kind of think, like, that wasn't a good exchange. Not good at all. It was actually a bad one. Or maybe you've booked a hotel room online that looks really good, and then you actually get there, and it's not really good at all. I did this last year. My wife was joining me in Atlanta, and I booked her this hotel room, and I was trying to be a good steward of God's money, so I was going to book her this place. It looked really good online, but it was inexpensive, maybe cheap. And the pictures look great. And my wife phones me, and she goes, what place did you book me in? Because the pool was not nice and blue. It was green, even though she wasn't going to swim in it, and it was just a dirty old hotel that they made look really nice online. That was a bad exchange for the little money that I spent. It was a bad exchange because my wife did not feel safe, and that was not a good husband thing to do. But we do it all the time. We purchase something. Maybe you are one of these people that can buy something on Kijiji, and you hey man, I got a good deal. And any good deal, people that love getting a good deal. Yeah, we do, right? We love getting good deals. And when we get those deals, we tell everybody. Because you exchanged something, that was a good deal, and I got the better of the deal. Or if you get ripped off, you don't tell anybody about that. You don't tell. I got really ripped off on that one. Your job, you exchange your time every day, every week, for money. And some of us, if I would ask you to raise your hands, how many think they're getting a good deal and how many think they're getting a bad deal? Most of the time, we probably think, man, I'm worth a little more. There's probably not a lot of people like, man, I can't believe they pay me all this money to do basically nothing. It usually doesn't happen to me. Man, I work so hard for the company and I exchange my time and they should give me more. But today, I want to look at a text in Scripture that's probably, I think, one of the most important texts that will help us understand what it means for us as if you call yourself a Christ follower, what that means for you to be a missionary and to join God's action, His work in the world to bring people to Himself. Just like you heard from the booth last week about how that's happening all over the world. And I want to bring it into here and where it's happening in your world today. I want to do a little thing. I've got a $10 Starbucks gift card, and I want to exchange that for something. Who wants to exchange that for something? Okay, paper, there we go. There we go. Exchanged. Who got the... I've got grounds, it's good. Who got the better deal? Darren got the better deal. Okay, so make sure you... Yeah, okay, that's good. Okay, today we want to look at that. Paul was a man that actually hated the church until one day he met Jesus on a road and he turned his life around. And he's talking to a church in Corinth. It was a Greek city, and today it's about 80 kilometers west of Athens. And people in that church were doubting that he was a real apostle. And the people in that church were rebelling against him, and they were these super apostles that were better speakers than Paul, and they were coming in, and they were saying that, and they were proclaiming a different gospel. And Paul writes what he's writing to us in the book of 2 Corinthians to show his readers and convince them that there is no other gospel. There's one gospel. And he's coming to his people, and he's got a deep love for these people. He knows some of them personally. And they've been having troubles. And in his life, Paul's life wasn't going great because he had all these trials and persecutions. So people are saying, well, he can't be a real apostle. But he writes this to us to demonstrate the contrast between what was going on in the gospel and the culture of his day. There was false apostles. And they were worried about external qualifications. But Paul says, I want to bring it and talk about the internal change of the heart by the Holy Spirit. And so that's where it is. And so if you want to take the whole book of Corinthians and sum it up, it's just like the gospel works. And so if you've got Bibles with you, if you want to turn, or if on your app, or if it's going to be on here, I want to read 2 Corinthians 5, 16 to 21. And it's written by the Apostle Paul. And he writes this. He says, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us, listen to this, the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Verse 20, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Now, this verse is awesome. For our sake, He, that's being Christ, Jesus, made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord. So I want to pose a question to you. The text talked about us being ministers of reconciliation and us being ambassadors on Christ's behalf. So that on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being low and 10 being the highest, how would you rate yourself as an ambassador for Christ or a minister of reconciliation in your life? 1 being low, 10 being high, where would you rate yourself on that scale of being an ambassador of Christ or a minister of reconciliation in your life today. And if you're here and you're not yet a Christ follower, and we're so glad that you're here, I know that's why South Winds exists. Rate the church or rate a Christian that maybe brought you here. And how do they demonstrate that? You have a number? I'm hoping and praying that as we look at our text today, that you will say, hey, I would like to move it a little to the right. I'd like to move, if you're a two, I'd like to move it to a three. If you're a nine, maybe I can get to a 9.5. If you're a five, maybe get it to a six. And that's where we want to go. And I believe our text helps us, no matter where we're at, to help us understand who we are a little bit better. I love the songs that we were singing this morning because it goes so well with where we're going with our message. You see, we're tempted always to exchange the truth about ourselves, if we are a Christ follower, with a lie of the world. And that's what I think Paul is talking about here. So none of this makes sense if we don't first talk about the gospel. You see, the Bible is not a book of rules. It's a story. It's a story of God and how he, it's a grand narrative of what he came to do and what he is doing. It's the storyline of the Bible tells us not what we can do to earn God's favor, but what God has done to us to bring him into a relationship with himself. You see, the world was made for human flourishing. It was meant to work perfectly in harmony with God, with each other, and creation. God created this world perfectly. Unfortunately, our parents, Adam and Eve, rebelled against God. They chose to do exactly what they were not told to do. They wanted to be autonomous creatures. They wanted to be like God, and they didn't trust or believe in his goodness or trust and believe in his word. So God said that if they rebelled, that this would lead to death, physical death, but also spiritual death. The relationship between God and the humans was now broken. So they rejected God's rule, and that affects us today. God created everything perfect, but there was this fall, this brokenness that happened, and we see it in our world all over the place. You see this brokenness in your life. But right after our parents, Adam and Eve, sinned, God unveiled a plan to bring us back into relationship with himself and to make all things right. You see, God is rightfully wrathful of sin because he is just, and our sin needed to be dealt with. So God, throughout the Old Testament, the first 66 books of the Bible, shows us how to deal with the sin issue and that he was going to be sending a Savior. So the Old Testament is all talking about Christ, looking forward to Christ in the perfect person of Christ. God comes himself to earth through his son Jesus to renew and restore his people. Jesus became our substitute. He came to earth, and that's what we do. If you're new to this, we celebrate at Christmas that Christ came to earth as a human, and he lived a perfect sinless life that we were supposed to but could not. Then he went to a cross that we celebrate on Good Friday and Easter as a substitute and died a death in our place that you and I each deserved. Through that, later, Jesus rose again from the dead 3 days later, and then we celebrate Easter Sunday morning that he rose from the death. And in that rising from the dead, he conquered sin and death that came to the earth because of our first parent's sin. And he also says that God one day will come back, and he will one day judge sin and evil. He will purge the world of evil, restore all things, and make all things right. In the end, God will bring complete restoration to everything that has been broken and destroyed by sin, and those who have accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior will rule and enjoy him and his goodness forever. Now, however, we have had our relationship restored through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. We are called now to join him in the sense of restoration now. We get a glimpse of restoration now of how we, as followers of Christ, live on this earth. So based on that good news, the gospel of how we God created everything perfect, and there was a fall, Jesus came to redeem us, and now he's restoring all things, and one day we'll restore everything perfectly. He says this, and this is where we get into our text. Verse 17, he says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come." And then also verse 21, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." You see, Jesus took our sin and exchanged it for his righteousness. That is a bad deal for Jesus. He was perfect. He didn't deserve anything. You think I got a bad deal? He got the good deal? No, that's nothing in comparison to what Christ has done for us. Now think about this. Think about your life. The things in your life that you've done, things in your life that you actually thought you wanted to do, contemplated doing, which Jesus says is just as bad as doing it in the Sermon on the Mount. All of that, think of every horrible, brutal thing that you've learned in history class, in socials class, in school. All of the crazy dictators and genocide, the Hitlers, the Stalins, the rape, the murder, all of the horrible things that was placed upon Jesus on the cross. All the things that we've done. Jesus took all of that upon himself on the cross. And he says, I'm going to exchange my perfect life for yours, for your horrible life. So this is the scandalous thing, friends. This is the craziest thing. That when God looks at you, he sees the perfection of Christ. That's crazy. I know the stuff I thought about this week. That's crazy. God took his only son and placed all the wrath upon him and allowed his son to experience the wrath and death that I deserved, that you deserved, that we all deserved. You see, I have three sons. I love my sons incredibly much. But there's no way that I'm going to give my son's life for yours. Sorry, I won't. I won't. Mine? Yeah, maybe. My wife gets rich and I get to see Jesus. It's going to be okay. But not my sons. I'm not giving them up. But that's what God did for us, for you, for me. He exchanged his perfect righteousness for our sin. And the friend, listen to me, friends. We forget that. We forget that that exchange has taken place. We forget of how unfair God is. I love it when people say God's unfair, but they're not thinking the way I'm thinking. God is so unfair. You and I deserve death. We deserve complete separation from God forever. But no, he gave it to Jesus on the cross. And that's why the cross is here every week. Because that's so important. And friends, it seems like, I know in my life, that we leave this place and we forget that exchange has taken place. We think that we still have to go out there and we have to earn what we're doing. We have to earn our relationship with God, but the reality is we don't. If you are here and you're not yet a Christ follower, or you're someone that's skeptical about Christianity, maybe you just got dragged here, I don't know. But agree with me. If there was someone that took all of the stuff that you've done and said, I'm going to take it on myself and I'm going to give you a free ticket. If that was true, if it were true, that would be good news. And that's why we call it the gospel. Because it's such good news. You see, I forget. Tim Keller, an author in New York City, and pastor, says this. He says, the gospel is this: we are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. Yet, at the very same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hoped. Friends, that is true of us today. That we're more sinful than we could ever believe, but we're more loved than we ever dared hoped. That is good news. That's the gospel. But however, we forget this great exchange and we live and we get lured into exchanging the truth of God for a lie. And then our true identity is a false identity. In Romans 1, another book that the Apostle Paul wrote, he says that we exchange this truth of God for a complete lie and we begin to worship created things rather than the Creator. You see, we forget that we are new creations. We forget that. We forget that the old is gone. How many of you came into this place and you're worried about things you've done in your past? And Satan is yattering in your ear. It's not true. You did this. How could you do this? You're a horrible person. Friends, that's a lie. Because according to God's word, which I believe is true, without error, God looks at you and he says, oh, you're perfect. Scandalous. There's no way I can be perfect. I know what I've done, I've thought, but that is the truth of the gospel in this great exchange that we have seen. Beautiful. We need to keep going. You see, so often we live in, I'll call this reindeer theology, now being Christmas time, is, you know the story Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Totally excluded. When did he actually get included? When he actually proved his worth. That is so anti-gospel. You see, we didn't have to prove anything. Jesus proved it on our behalf. That is beautiful. So when you hear that song, remember, that's not true about the Christian life. It's not what we've done. It's what's been done on our behalf by Jesus. So the first thing is we exchange what we believe about ourselves. The second is we're reminded that we not to exchange how we view other people. Verse 16 says, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Paul is basically saying that we need to view people from an eternal perspective. People are lost and they need a savior. For Paul, the person writing this, something changed for him drastically. He at one time was against Christ. He was way far from Christ. He was actually killing Christians and putting them in prison and breaking up families because he thought that Christ was a heretic and that he was a false prophet. But what changed? He had an encounter with the person of Jesus, and it radically changed him. Where he once regarded Christ as just a man, he was now saw Christ as who he was, as God, risen and a resurrected Savior. So Paul is now saying, I see people differently. And the question that I want to ask us today is, how do we view people? Do we see people around us who need a Savior? People around us who do crazy things to us and sin against us? Do we see them as someone who needs a Savior? Do we see them as just a person who's doing bad things against us? I do this all the time. Everyone, just drive a car in Calgary, right? Like, I'm from BC, and people there, I think, drive nice. I get to Calgary, and everyone's just like you put your blinker on, and people behind you speed up to not let you in. Like, it's crazy, and I get angry. And I start viewing these people as not very smart people. And I get mad, and I say things, and that's wrong. I realize I got to regard these people as people who need Christ. And they need something, need to get there fast. I'm like this, and I'm confessing. Your neighbor's driveway, your neighbor's sidewalk, okay? I'm like this every single time it snows. I get out, and I'm going to go, I'm only going to do my side this week. I'm doing my sidewalk, and I'm not doing anybody else's. And I get out there with this attitude, because my neighbor, who's got a corner lot, never shovels my driveway. Never shovels. I've got 34 feet of driveway, sidewalk. He's got like 300 because he's got all around. And I'm going, I'm not going to do it this time. Not going to do it because he doesn't deserve it. He never does it for me. And I'm like having this thing, this going on in my head every single time. And sure enough, by the time I finish mine, oh, okay. And then I do both neighbors. And I'm not saying that for myself. I'm saying that because I'm going like, how can I do that when I say they don't deserve it? And then Jesus just pipes the gospel into my ear. Neither did you. You can serve him because I first served you. That's the beauty of the gospel, and that's what gives us the ability to serve other people, to see other people as Christ sees them, as people in need of a Savior, just the same way you and I have been given that gift. We didn't earn it. So we can't take any credit for it. But since we've been given that, we can freely serve and give to other people. Is there a person that you're surrounded with on a daily basis that you need to see in an eternal perspective? It's the person that drives you crazy. The person that continually sins against you, that does crazy stuff to you. Can you view them with an eternal perspective? And I pray that they could see who Christ really is. Who is that person? Who's one person? Maybe it's a group of people. Thirdly, we have a purpose in the gospel, and we're tempted to exchange the purpose that we have for just living life for ourselves and living it selfishly. Verses 18 to 20. Read this with me. Verse 18, and all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, now listen to this, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. What's our purpose? If you are a Christ follower, that is your purpose, to be a minister of reconciliation, to be ambassador for Christ. And if you are here and you yet don't know Christ, maybe that's sometimes some of your problems that you have with Christians because they don't act this way, because they forget of who they are, and please forgive us when we do that. But this isn't hard. We don't have to go to Europe and figure out what our purpose in life is. Our purpose is to be ambassadors for Christ if you are a follower of Christ. It's to be a reconciler in situations that need reconciling. You see that what Jesus is entrusting to us here, it's the ministry of reconciliation. Look at me. Listen, everybody in this room, if you are a Christ follower, is a minister of reconciliation. It's not Bo and Rachel's and Kinsey's job to do that. It's not. They're there to help equip you to be able to do that. But according to Scripture, that's all of us. And that it says that Christ is making his appeal through us. That means that we're all missionaries wherever we're at. So where is life needed and reconciliation in your life needed today? Where have you been placed to be a minister of reconciliation? Where have you been placed? Where do you work? What's going on with work? And say, I'm going to work tomorrow morning and I am a minister of reconciliation. So Jesus, how can you use me today to reconcile people to himself? How can you use me and my family? Many of us have families. And I don't know if anybody has a perfect family. Probably none of us have perfect families, but you're in that family to be a minister of reconciliation if you know Christ. Where do you work? Where do you go to school? Where do you live? How are you to be a minister of reconciliation, an ambassador of Christ on your street? One of the things that hit me really hard last month is we had a speaker come in and talk to all of our church planters. And he asked us this question: will you take responsibility for the lostness of this city? Will you take responsibility for the lostness of your street, of your neighborhood? Because you and I have been put in these places. You see, Acts 17:26 says this, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, yet he is actually not far from each one of us. I believe what that verse is saying is that God has sovereignly placed you where you're supposed to be an ambassador for him. You see, there's no plan B for the rescue of this world. There's plan A, and we are it. Plan A is we are God's ambassadors, Christ's ambassadors. Because Christ has changed me so we can go now and be part of helping, being involved in what Jesus is changing the world. Josh McDowell, the theologian and apologist, says this: wherever Jesus has been proclaimed, we see lives change for the good. Nations change for the better. Thieves become honest. Alcoholics become sober. Hateful individuals become channels of love. Unjust persons embrace justice. And I know that's what Southwinds wants to be, because it's a place for faith and family and friends. I appreciate that this church is partners in the gospel, such great partners in the gospel. But see, we're called to be Christ's ambassador. See, an ambassador lives in another country, but they're not part of that country. They're just the ambassador. You know, if you go on Instagram, there's these product ambassadors, apparently like millions of dollars, just like wearing Adidas shoes or Puma shoes or something. It's crazy because they're showing off the product. And friends, we've been called as Christ to join him in what he's doing in this world, to be ambassadors. to joining in the ministry of reconciliation. So if you're here today, you are a minister of reconciliation if you know Christ. And if you yet don't know Christ, I am so glad that you're here. And I pray that God would continue to allow you to see this reconciliation through this family here at South Winds. Let's remember, we are new creations. Not because of what we've done, but it's because what Christ has done on our behalf. I want to end with this. I'm going to ask the band to come up. What will you do with us today? The sense that you're leaving here and say, man, I'm an ambassador. What maybe needs to change in your life? To say that you're a minister of reconciliation, who is that one person or that one situation that you're called to be that minister of reconciliation? Or maybe you're that person here today and you yet don't know Christ and you're saying, like, I want to be reconciled to Christ. We can do that. It's admitting that you are a sinner, that you need a Savior, that you've messed things up, and the only way that you can have a relationship with God restored is through a relationship with Jesus Christ and accept His love and forgiveness that He gave to you on the cross. Believe that He's the only one that can take away that sin and commit to following Him for the rest of your life. That's how easy it is to become a Christ follower. You don't have to clean your life up. You just have to say, I need a Savior. And I know Pastor Bo and Rachel and Kinsey and other leaders here would love to walk with you if you haven't yet made that decision. But you can become reconciled to God today without doing a thing other than saying, I need a Savior. And that's the beauty of the gospel. Is there something that you can commit to today to say, I want to commit to being a better person because of what Christ has done? I want to be an ambassador for Christ in my workplace, in my home, on our street. What would it look like if all of us, all of you, all of us as believers in Christ actually took this seriously, that believe that every place that we go to, every restaurant that we visit, every place that we go, every workplace, school, that we would say we're ambassadors of Christ and that Christ is making His appeal with us? That would be pretty crazy, and I think we could fill this room many times. That's what He's calling us to. It's not that we have to do more, it's just believing what God has done for us and living that out. So where are you on the scale? What do you need to do to maybe move up to the right a little bit? And if you don't want to move, I'd ask you why you don't want to move. But the reality is you have the Holy Spirit that will help you say, I can't do that. I can't love this person. The reality is that the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead, the Scriptures say, lives in you if you follow Christ. So we're worth that excuse. Will you be willing this week to be ambassador for Christ, to be a minister of reconciliation for where, in when, whatever situation that God has placed you in? That, I believe, is the call of the Scripture here today. Let me pray. Father, we just want to thank You that You love us so much, that we have done nothing to earn a salvation, that we've done nothing for You to love us, and yet You did because You are love. Jesus, we thank You that You came to this earth willingly. We celebrate it at Christmas, that You were born and You lived a humble life and You died a death in our place that we deserved, and You lived a life that we could not live. And then You rose again, conquering sin and death. And we just praise You and thank You, Jesus, that You've done that on our behalf. And I pray for my brothers and sisters in this place today, Father, that You would empower them by Your Holy Spirit to be ministers of reconciliation in whatever situation You call them to this week. Lord, that they would know that they are ambassadors, bringing the message of the goodness of the gospel to wherever they go this week. I pray, Lord, that You would empower them. And I pray that we would see lives changed because we live according to how You've called us to live, and we live in the truth instead of exchanging that for a lie of who we are. So, Jesus, we love You, we praise You, we give You all the glory. Empower us this week to live as ambassadors and ministers of reconciliation. We pray this for our joy and for Christ's glory in His awesome and holy name. Amen.